This is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. I'm Michael Tetlow. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike. Mark Tuchek, hello there.
G'day, Tets. How's it going?
Oh, very well. Thanks for coming in once again.
All right.
Now, we're lucky to have you because you're heading down south, so we just managed to get you in before you head down to Bunbury.
That's right. I'm slotting down to Bunbury and going to do a couple of things. Down at Nambalup, which is on the way down, there's the Food Innovation Precinct.
It's a right.
New area the government's actually putting funds into, and Murdoch University have got a little campus down there, so I'm having a chat to some professors there about the future of food and bush tucker and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you always bring your bush tucker in, and we've got some here today, and we might talk about that a bit later on.
Yeah.
But look, it's a fascinating topic, isn't it? For what will sustain us into the future?
Oh, there's something like there's going to be an extra 5 billion people by 2050, and just feeding them, you know, is just, you know, how are we going to do it? And plant-based protein looks like the way to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
There, Jen's in Queens. Hello, Jen.
Oh, hello, Michael, and hello, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. Look, I've got a couple of questions here about some compost, but also we've got about big tubs of the beef tomatoes growing, and they grow. I love those tomatoes. I don't know why we don't see more of them in the supermarket. But when I was out this morning just having a quick look at them, they're, of course, they're formed, but they're quite small just yet. Around, say, a golf ball, a little bit smaller.
Yep.
But I noticed tiny, tiny little pinholes in them. And also one's got quite a little hole in it. So it's some sort of grub that's got into that. And I'm just wondering, with your advice, what you'd advise us to do. Should we use exclusion covers to put over it, like fruit fly exclusion covers, or could we use the success, which is for caterpillars? And is it Dipel as well that you can use for that? And I just wondered, just on the tomatoes, what you could advise on that. Do you want to answer that for me and then I'll ask about the compost?
Right. Well, it sounds like you're on the right track because all of those things are effective. And it depends on, exactly what kind of bug you do have. So little pinpricks can indicate fruit fly pricks, but usually they get stuck into the. Are the tomatoes still green, or are they actually starting to go red?
No, it's still green.
Yeah.
Mark, these are the great big ones that form, you know, big grapefruit. They're fabulous, but these are only so small, and that's why I was so surprised about seeing a whole. Usually, they wait until they're ripening a bit before they'll attack things, you know. But this is, I can definitely see a little bite. But also, when I look around, there's several little pinholes in a couple of them. And I thought, oh, gosh, wonder what the heck that is.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're on the money because fruit fly generally don't pierce the skin until the fruit starts to ripen. And so you might get some pinpricks in there, but they won't actually develop into grubs. But if you cut one open and you actually do see some grubs, it could indicate there are different other moths. Larvae, which actually will start to get stuck into your tomatoes, and those other products that you mentioned are very good. And
really?
the last one you mentioned actually starts to wear off quite quickly, so you have to repeat the application on it. And
how often?
Usually with sprinklers, you know, like overhead watering, you know, wash it off. So usually once a week until you notice you don't have any holes in your fruit that have been caused by the caterpillars.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Now, Mark, I'm sorry to ask these questions. We're wanting to get in some compost, and when we buy it by the bag, it's quite expensive to buy, and a lot of our things are in pots. And I know you're not allowed to mention names, but there's one called Piggy Post, and I know that's the brand, but I'm not too sure whether that's a complete compost, and the other ones that I've heard many good reports about is the one outside of Mandurah there somewhere and another one at West Swan. So I'm thinking about if I could get a trailer load of any of those and be able to put them in the garden, but also in pots with our existing soil that's there, not whole that way. And I just wondered also, and excuse my dumbness here with this one, with a cubic metre in a trailer load, and you normally get a 25-litre bag of when you buy, you know, buy the bag.
Yep.
What's the equation? How many of those 25-litre bags would be in a cubic metre?
Well, it's usually by litres, so usually there's 1,000 litres in a cubic metre. So you divide that by 25. And normally a trailer load is less than a cubic metre, so it's usually 0.6 of a cubic metre. But going back to the compost, excellent in the garden, but don't put it in the pots. Just put a potting mix in a pot because unless you sometimes the compost can break down very quickly and you'll get anaerobic decomposition in the pot. Stick to a potting mix in the pot and all that lovely compost that you're going to get, use that in the ground.
Kate in Mount Lawley. Hello, Kate.
Oh, hello. I've got geraniums. I got given the gift of a lot of pots of geraniums beginning of the winter, and they've got lacy leaves, and I can't see what's eating them. I've been away for 6 weeks in the UK, and I think the new growth is okay, but just I want to know what to do in case this lacy leaves thing hits again. I can't see what's eating them. Yeah.
So the leaves, are they kind of like transparent? Have they been eaten through?
No.
No?
No, they're proper leaves but with holes in them all over, like lacy leaves, I would call them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But lacy holes.
Well, usually the new leaves are the most tasty for bugs. And so if they're not being attacked, I'd suggest that the caterpillars are moved on and turned into moths and butterflies and things like that. And then just pick off the really badly affected leaves and give it a light fertilizer, and I think it'll be okay. Yep.
Okay, I can't see what bugs it would have been. I had a good look. I could never ever see them, so I don't know what caused it.
No, it looks like they've moved on.
Yeah. Now, Mark on the text line, Diane in Beaconsfield has sent us through a photograph. Says, why are my grapevine leaves blackened, and why are the grapes turning white? Now, Diane's vine is not looking good at all. What's happening here?
Okay, so there's a picture of some dark black spots over the leaves, and the grapes have really gone really white and powdery. So that indicates powdery mildew, which is a fungal disease. But the black is really a sign of black sooty mold. So it's got a whole bunch of things going wrong here. I'd probably suggest it's maybe in too much shade, and also because powdery mildew tends to affect plants that are in too much shade, and they're too sheltered, and there's not enough air circulation through the vine. So those grapes that you've got there, I'd really probably sacrifice them and actually chop all them out, unfortunately. And the black sooty mold, it probably indicates a sap-sucking pest like scale or something like that, just sucking away, causing honeydew, and on the honeydew, the black sooty mold is growing. But it's all a result of probably too much shade and too much the air is not circulating through that grapevine. Yeah,
I have for many years, Mark, failed in my efforts to grow grapes, and the last time I tried it, they ended up looking just like that.
There you go. There's a lesson.
I know. I chopped them out and decided it was easier to buy them, Mark. On the text line as well, Emily in Broomhill sent us a photograph too of a Michaelia, Lady of the Night, which has been in the duplex soil for about 6 months. It's west-facing in dirt mixed with aged manure. It had a new burst of flowers and leaves developed since then, but the leaves have turned a light green yellow. Some leaves have brown spots on them. Is this normal? Should I give it something? This is the photo, Mark.
Right. Actually, it's very yellow.
It is.
And, Michaelia, Lady of the Night, fantastic plant. They're called Lady of the Night because the flowers are perfumed in the evening.
Oh, right. Okay. I see.
You know.
The bees and the birds.
That's right, exactly. Birds and the bees. And anyway, this one's very yellow. So that's because they actually really like acidic soils like, you know, camellias, azaleas, blueberries, that kind of thing. So the soil is very limey. So the compost that they've used has obviously been a bit alkaline. It's showing up as yellow leaves, which is a nutrient deficiency. So it's kind of manganese and magnesium and a bit of iron probably, all rolled into one. So if you get those trace elements in a fertiliser, use an acidic fertiliser around the base of it, and it should slowly come good.
We've got a text here
Mark from Narrogin, from CC, says, Mark, could you tell me what is eating or what is wrong with my lily pillies? They are in midday to afternoon sun, plenty of water, loam over clay in Narrogin.
Right, so it's just showing some chewed edges of the leaves, and they've deteriorated too. So once the leaves have been chewed, then there's like a secondary like browning of the edges of the leaves because the tissue's been damaged. So something's had a chew of them. I mean, lily pillies are pretty tough, actually. So something's had a chew of it at one point. So I think, again, it's been and gone. I don't think this is an older leaf and it's not actually happening on the newer growth.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, like the previous one with the geraniums, I think the damage has been and gone by a few caterpillars. And I really don't think it's going to be anything to spray with now. But certainly a little bit of fertiliser. Now we're getting to the warm weather. A slow-release fertiliser will help increase the plant's own vigour and should recover from the little setback it's got there. And I think it'll come good.
Now, Mark, you've got your plants here. You've got the old man saltbush. This almost looks a bit holly-like in its leaves.
Well, it is. I bought these plants in because these plants love the heat. We're going into the hot weather and a lot of people are worried about planting this time of the year. But particular plants actually thrive on the heat, and as long as you actually get the soil going, and they do benefit from watering to get them going. But oh man, saltbush is fantastic. It's got grey silvery foliage. Anything grey with silvery foliage is very hardy once it's established. And the other one there is that ruby saltbush, which you actually eat the fruit, and this one you eat the leaves. But yeah, a lot of people are concerned about the oncoming summer, and there are so many plants you can plant this time of the year that really love the heat.
Yeah, okay. Sarah in Nedlands, Mark, says, Mark, please help. How can I best treat brown spot in palmetto? Is that palmetto buffalo?
It is, yes.
I had this issue in previous turf. We removed it and the soil, added new soil, new turf, but it has returned.
Well, depends on what the brown spot is specifically on the buffalo, and it could be a couple of things. Sometimes if the grasses are actually over-fertilised, they become soft and they're more prone to pests and disease attacks. So if you use nitrogen is the main thing that makes lawns green and leafy and grow quite well, and they do need a good content of nitrogen. But if you overdo it, if you give them like junk food, a lot of people like to put urea on their lawn and things like that, then you get a lot of weak growth, which is then prone to pests and disease attacks.
Right, okay.
Because it's too soft. And so brown spot, it could be a fungal disease because it's too weak. And so usually if it's over-fertilised, over-watered, then it's more prone to pests and disease attack.
Okay. Sue in Como, Mark, has two ornamental pear trees. They have browned edges on most of their leaves. Not lack of water. One tree looks worse than the other. Any ideas?
See, they should be just starting to shoot now with fresh new leaves, not brown leaves. So were they in pots or the ground?
I don't think we know.
I don't know. If they're in the ground, then I'd certainly say it's a nutritional issue and a good fertiliser this time of the year, because they're all starting to come into leaf, so they're starting to draw on nutrients and things like that. If they're in a pot, I'd look at that potting mix story scenario again. So fresh potting mix, great time to repot a lot of things. And if it's in the same pot you want to keep it in, pull it out, fresh potting mix in the bottom, stick it back in. Yeah.
All right, here's a question, Mark, and it's a very, very short question, and there are two things I have no idea what this is about, so you're going to have to explain it to me. Where can I buy smoke water to germinate flannel flower seeds?
Yes, well, there you go. So smoke water is exactly what it is. It's smoky water because a lot of natives actually respond to their seeds actually germinate after fires. And so what happens is the fire goes through, it then rains, and so that rain water washes smoky water. That stimulates plants into germinating, and that certainly helps them along. A good garden centre will have smoke water available, but flannel flowers are actually They've got grey foliage and, you know, really open flowers, and they do respond to smoke water to germinate them. But, yeah, your local garden centre will have smoke water.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Give that a whirl. Mark Tuchek, thank you so much for coming in.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.